Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Timberwolves podcast. Joining me, Zachary Bennett in studios, is sleepy Tom Schreier.
I'm a little bit sleepy.
Saying that the good pickup ball spot on Fridays?
Yep, Fridays, 3 o'clock at St. Louis Park.
So you slept in a little bit in preparation for that.
I didn't. I'll take a nap before. I like that little pregame nap. You get a little rush from that, and then I'll head over. Probably play a little basketball.
Are you going to be able to have... I'm going to take that pregame nap away from you if we're going to go to lunch after this.
Oh, jeez. I'll be able to sneak it in. You can get in at 3:30 or 4.
Oh.
Just the competition ramps up as time goes on.
Well, closed circuit to lifetime members looking for some good ball games.
Right.
3 o'clock, St. Louis Park.
I need to start playing outside. It is like 60 and sunny right now. It is perfect outdoor.
Yeah, I was driving on the way here. The scenery... It's beautiful outside.
We're right near a fine institution.
Sun's out, guns out.
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Timberwolves. The coin flip of sadness that they won. Kevin Garnett's remarks regarding a one Glenn Taylor. And then get into the NBA playoffs, which you said off air have been better than expected.
Right. Beginning with that coin flip, probably the funniest comment I heard regarding that is Jason Concepcion, who is its network right on Twitter.
Probably the best tweeter there is online.
He is very good. Bill Simmons has come out and said that he went and, like, literally he went to one of his editors. He's like, we got to find out who this dude is and get him to write for, at the time, Grantland, and now he writes for The Ringer. But, yeah, he was like, even the Knicks can't win the damn coin flip. But the Knicks, who have not won as many playoff games as what the Sonics or something since 2002. Not that the Wolves can really compare to that.
But, no, certainly not.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they get, you know, an asset here, and then the question is, ultimately, can they flip that asset for a better player, or are you kind of stuck with, but kind of going into next season essentially with the same team?
Well, the talks were because Kristaps Porzingis was frustrated and unhappy spending some time in his home country. And I'm not saying talks is serious talks, but can you flip the Wolves pick in a prospect a la Levine?
Yeah.
And get a Kristaps Porzingis.
The big issue with any Wolves trade is that you really don't want Levine to be part of it, because unless he just refuses to come off the bench, in which case, you know, whatever. But I it'd be the best situation for the Wolves actually would be if Muhammad was under contract. Because he'd be a nice piece to kind of package with a pick. I think a rebuilding team would like to just have a player you could start and be exciting and all that.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, the issue is really they could use Jimmy Butler, who I believe is still under contract, right?
Who is the best player in a series that we'll talk about later.
I know, very exciting stuff. Or Paul George. I think if they could get one of those two players. But the issue there is you're packaging Levine for sure to get that, I think, if that's even enough. And if you do that, then you're probably overspending for Muhammad, which kind of defeats the purpose of what they're trying to do here. So.
Yeah. The Wolves' final lottery odds, 5.3% chance of getting the first pick, 6% chance at the second pick, 7% at the third, 43.9% at the sixth, which is the highest possible odds, 30.5% at the seventh, 5% odds they'll move down to the eighth, and 0.1% odds they'll land in the ninth.
I don't want to dive into this too far right now, but what people are the Twitter people are telling me, they like Isaac a lot. Is there
who?
I need to look up his name. I'm pulling up the sheet right now. Jonathan Isaac from Florida State, who I actually do remember playing when he played against the Gophers this year. But you know, I mean, it just seems funny to me that that's the guy they're talking about right now. Draft Express lists him as the number 9 prospect. And especially when kind of these Monks, Fox, Tatum, Jackson.
Marketing.
I mean, they're just all considered kind of similar players, right? I mean, similar skill level, or similar ability to pan out in the NBA. And I'm just a little surprised that it's Isaac they're talking about. Have you looked at the draft stuff at all?
Yeah, Tim and I briefly skimmed over Draft Express on Sunday, which is interesting because Josh Jackson was as low as sixth at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think those, other than Ball and Fultz, I think everyone else is rotated through there.
Yeah.
And I guess I would, I think you just take the best player available.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I mean, I really like Josh Jackson just from the brief skims that I've done, just because of his size and his ability to shoot the three. And, you know, Malik Monk has been a name that a lot of people have mentioned.
I liked him from what I saw.
He's a little slimmer right now than I would like, but Markkanen, you know, you never know. 7 foot mystery guy, 1 year to Arizona.
Isn't that your boy?
That's my guy, University of Arizona, so I'm a little partial there. But, you know, I haven't taken a good look at Zach Collins, another 7 footer out of Gonzaga. He's a little lower on the sheet, 10. So,
yeah.
You know, next week, going to have Mike Brody and hopefully Britt Robeson, probably do some draft discussion then, some deeper draft discussion at that point. But I really like the idea. You've sold me on the idea of a wing player.
Yeah.
And then I think you can get you can find a proven four. Should probably look at the available.
I still think they need muscle. This is not something you get in the
draft.
They
need some grown man bodies.
They need a grown man to put in there against those teams with, you know, Memphis and New Orleans and stuff like that. I mean, just who guards Boogie Cousins right now on this team? Who guards, I mean, Zach Randolph isn't what he once was, but who guards those big guys? And it's nice just to have him part of the mix for flexibility. But I think that, don't do that in the draft. These guys, I mean, even the bigger players here are like 225. So I think outside of, I know the Rubio thing's a controversy, I still hear people saying, you can't trust Rubio. I think Rubio did enough this year. I think he's part of the mix going forward. I wouldn't take De'Aaron Fox then, because why would you want to, you know, this point guard, especially
when you took a point guard last year?
Yeah, and when that, and honestly, I actually think he's a better fit where he is now. I think Britt talked about this, or I talked to him about this, and I think he said this on his podcast, written about it. Having a ball stopper off your bench is not a bad idea, or a wing stopper rather off your bench is not a bad idea. You know what you do by adding an asset in the draft and getting players in free agency rather than trading is fill out your bench, right? Because even if you don't get this mysterious wing player I'm talking about, you know, if you probably start the season then, assuming Levine's healthy, Rubio, Levine, Wiggins, Towns, whoever this wing player or whoever this big guy is to get, or Jang, depending on the size of the opponents, and then your bench doesn't look bad. I mean, you have a strong, what I think of a strong backup point guard in Tyus, a wing stopper in Dunn, Bielitsa, who I should have mentioned in my article, people pointed that out, but I think he's part of the formula, and then whoever you draft. I mean, that's not a bad bench in my mind.
No, and I'm looking at free agent, quote unquote power forwards. Blake Griffin, number one at the top.
If you could get Blake, does he play well with Towns? I don't know.
I don't know. That's the type of player that in years past, Wolves fans are like, yeah, we're not going to get him.
The other truth of the matter is, I think Tibbs has a better relationship, let's say, with Paul George or Butler, right? Then I don't know what his relationship is with Griffin, but I know those two are good. The other thing to think about is, with Gobert going down, the Clippers are moving to the second round. They're not going to blow up their team, I don't think.
Maybe. You just don't know.
We could get to that, but if anything, you're going to blow up the team. You're not getting rid of him, I don't think. But
Paul Millsap is number two. I've said on this podcast before, he'd be perfect. He's a little old, but maybe on a two-year deal. He's got a couple.
If you could get him on a two-year deal.
He's got some ball left in him. Three would be even better, maybe. Serge Ibaka.
I like, and how old is Serge Ibaka?
He's a rim protector. Also shoots the three ball well, has proven he is 89, so he's 28.
Yeah, so 27 right now, it looks like.
He'll be 28 next season.
I
dealt with some injuries
Ibaka
recently. Yeah.
I think Ibaka, and plus Ibaka's not kind of that fat big, you know what I mean? Like, that's a terrible thing to say.
No, he's a beast.
Yeah, it's all strength. To me, that would be, I'd go get this guy, and I assume he's going to command some money, but isn't.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent.
I think you got to get him.
Yeah, that's it.
Why do you want? Millsap's a better fit, but he's 32, and I mean, I still think there's a couple stones left to step on before he hits.
I mean, if you really want to tie in Rubio, he's got the Spanish connection there a little bit.
I like Millsap. I'm not dissing him.
Pau Gasol, another name you could throw out there.
He looks sketchy.
He's a little aging.
Look a little sketchy.
An aging star. Number five is a player who's played with under Tom Thibodeau in the past, Nikola Mirotic.
Not opposed, although I don't know if he fits that. I don't know how big he is, but I don't think he's
6'10".
Is he bulky though?
No, he's more of a Bielitsa.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an upgrade over Bielitsa. I like Bielitsa on the bench though. I don't think he's going to command that much salary, and I think he has a very defined role.
He's restricted too, so there's always the chance the Bulls match him. But wouldn't that be such a would? I don't know if it would be a Thibodeau thing. But Thibodeau has the money to throw.
Yeah,
Thibodeau has the power to throw a bunch of money at a Bulls restricted player and say, hey, here you go.
Yeah.
Sort of get back at the management there. I'll skip to number seven. I'm skipping over Ersan Ilyasova, by the way, who I have no interest in. Taj Gibson, another player who's played under Thibodeau in the past. He's an unrestricted free agent currently with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
But a name at the bottom of the list who might be more realistic than any of the aforementioned names, Jamichael Green, who I've been intrigued by. A lot of Wolves fans, at least in the Canisupis comment section, have been intrigued by him. He owns Nemanja Bjelica, or has owned him in previous matchups. He's only 6'8", but he's been a workhorse. He's developed an ability to shoot the three over years past. He's 15th on the list. I like him a lot. That's a sleeper that the Wolves could pursue. So just some 6'9", names.
227 is also some size. That's what he's listed as. Yeah, I mean, Jamichael Green's interesting. I love Serge Ibaka for the Wolves. I just think he's only 27. You know, I think the only thing you can't do is lock yourself into a contract where if he is truly wearing down, it bites you on the end of the contract. But they gotta make some moves in the offseason. Tibbs, in his season-end press conference, said he's not taking the same tact as last year. He's going to be aggressive. And I think he needs to be. They're probably a year away from making a big splash. I don't consider Serge Ibaka a big splash.
You don't? I would think it's huge. I would start the parade. I would throw the parade, yeah. I think it's
along
a huge
the lines
splash.
Of Butler and George, though?
No, maybe not.
Yeah, okay. So maybe I'm setting the standard wrong. That's probably fair. But Serge Ibaka would be a great fit. And I think Tibbs has some stuff to sell here. The biggest stat I thought coming out of this whole season was 22 double-digit blown leads. I believe you're supposed to win that game. You know, now, granted, we'll get to the playoffs in a little bit, but we saw the Cavs overcome a 25-point deficit. But
well, that's the Cavs. And that's the Cavs. That's LeBron.
But you're supposed to win that game like 80% of the time. You know, I looked at it. This is pretty simple math. You win those 22 of those games, you win 80% of them, you have 48 wins on the year.
Wow.
That's Britt's projection. You win half of them, you have 42. That's
Vegas' projection.
So, you know, I just think I think the thing you're selling them is, look, we're a piece or two away. And I think you can honestly say that given Wiggins' ability, certainly Towns' ability, what Rubio did last year. And then just, I don't know if players or agents dig into bench stats, but you go, yeah, you're helping Phil at the bench by being a starter, right? I mean, kind of by nature. I mean, you're pretty confident Ibaka isn't going to have trouble guarding everyone. I mean, Boogie's going to be hard for everyone or whatever, but
no,
that kind of player.
I like Serge against basically everybody,
Yeah. If you're Tibbs, you gotta make moves here, because this season was kind of there's positives, but it was a loss in many ways, and you just can't have another one of those.
What'd you make of the KG comments?
I mean, I've talked to a few people about it. It's not all that different than what he told Kevin McHale, right? The big thing maybe I'm splitting hairs here. He seemed to say, I don't have issues with Thibodeau. I have issues with Glenn Taylor. And I think that's a very important distinction. Thibodeau's going to
be here. Unanswered for most of the year.
Yeah, and Thibodeau has, we're assuming the next four, at least next 3 years here, he and KG, I wrote this earlier in the year, have to coexist. KG has to be part of the organization going forward. They have to figure out a way to retire his jersey and get him involved. I think he's someone who's very influential on young players. I don't think that's drummed up to be more than it is. And I think he should still be around. And I mean, outside of that, I'm trying to think if there was anything else.
No, it was basically the, you know, it showed me the true Glenn Taylor was the money quote.
Which is, I mean, Glenn Taylor made KG a very rich man and gave him a sweet deal at the end of his, you know, year, but, or end of his, sorry, his career. You know, I mean, everyone can kind of interpret what they want out of all this. Sometimes I think KG is being a little difficult too, right?
I mean, I wouldn't want to be a fly on the wall, I would be, but I wouldn't want to be an agent or anything in those negotiations.
No.
Those are two strong-willed males. But what do you make of KG's Area 21?
I've seen a little bit of it. I saw my old buddy Sam Mitchell on there, which was interesting.
Your old pal.
He seemed a little different on there, a little calmer, a little more sane. But yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. I think KG has more to offer than just a media guy, right? I don't think he's ever going to be Charles Barkley, Shaq level media. I think he has a job in it and is good at it if he wants to do it. But I think, you know, someone like him really would benefit a team. And he is working with the Bucks, I think, and the Clippers. But he would really benefit a team as he won't be a coach, but as some sort of kind of consultant. So I don't know. I don't think he's terrible. I think there's better ex-players on TV. But
I like what he's done with the room.
Yeah,
it
is
cool.
Rather
than confine himself behind a desk.
Yeah, no, and I think more shows should do that. I was actually talking to Arif, one of our football guys, and we were kind of talking about the whole Fox Sports 1 thing, and it seems like, and this is just me, but it seems like the death of kind of the hot take guy behind the microphone screaming nonsense, right? And I think it's things have gone more to whether it's a classic studio or people just behind their computers on Facebook Live. Or on YouTube, just kind of sitting back and like relaxing a little bit. And I do like that KG took that tact, right? It's kind of, I'm bringing in someone I'm comfortable with. We'll have a conversation about basketball. So I do like that. Kobe took it kind of to an extreme. I don't know if you've seen his like little muse cage or whatever.
No, I haven't.
I've seen it once and I only looked at it because someone mentioned it on a radio show. But I mean, that stuff's crazy. But I do like kind of the, have an interesting set, sit down, just chat. People, if people are tuning into this, tuning into a basketball game, they like basketball. Just talk about basketball. That's all you got to do. Have an interesting conversation. And KG is very good at that. I just think there's more to offer. He has more to offer.
The cuss button. His guests, he and Sheed in the same room. It's brilliant.
Yeah. No. And honestly, if he was going to do this full time, maybe go to a platform where you can swear. Because why not? Just let KG loose.
Like HBO?
Like, I mean, HBO or just YouTube or something. You know what I mean? Something like, you know, I always tell people they should go to HBO. Yeah. Just steps their game up just that much, except for Simmons, of course.
Well, you might have told them to go there.
Did I?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think
you might have supported the idea.
Yeah, I'm sure I was behind it. I'm trying to think. I feel like there was someone else.
I'm sure I was behind it. Behind something Simmons does? You said you should avoid being the next Bill O'Reilly. I remember that much.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And who has found himself in some trouble, by the way?
Was this pre? That was probably pre the New York Times report that I said that, right?
Which New York Times report?
The one that they figured out he settled for $13 million or something with all these.
I think, yeah, it was pre. It was a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking Bill O'Reilly. Good grief.
Any playoff series that have intrigued you or caught your eye, you said, than expected. Have you been watching a lot of them?
I have.
I suppose when the Wild go down 3-0, you just
You kind of change the channel a little bit.
You flip your channel.
You know, I would say this. All of the East is pretty sweet. And I did not expect, obviously, the
Bulls.
What's happening with the Bulls. It's unfortunate because as much as it's intriguing, you're also kind of like, well, it also might be because Isaiah Thomas is sister died, right?
Think emotional and, traumas.
I've heard, again, my buddy Simmons talking about how, you know, like, I don't think that Boston went all in this year, and maybe it's because their ownership management knew this team is not as good as the record indicates. And I think Thomas kind of carried him a little bit. So Yeah, I mean, that's intriguing. I would say the Milwaukee, you know, Toronto matchup is interesting too, just because Milwaukee appears to be kind of giving them a, well, they've only won one, right? But I think they're...
They've won two. They won last night.
Yeah.
They're up 2-1 on Toronto after last night.
Okay, so yeah.
Chris Middleton back.
Right, so that to me is interesting because I thought with Cleveland looking vulnerable, and that surprised me a little bit. Now, I'm sure Cleveland will be fine. But I thought maybe Toronto could you know, shake things up in the East. And now it looks like they're not that great. I'm not that intrigued by Atlanta and Washington. I think Washington's a decent
team. I like Washington, but, yeah.
But I just – and maybe now they look better than they are. I thought Toronto was a – leap ahead of where Washington was, but that's not proven to be the case. And I do just enjoy kind of seeing potential upsets here. The kind of naked truth is that Cleveland probably will pass by everyone anyways, but I've enjoyed that. I would say, on the other hand, I mean, Portland, I think, has rallied Golden State maybe a little bit, but I think we know who's going to win there. I was hoping Oklahoma City getting up big on Houston, but they blew that lead. And then my favorite series, you know, L.A. and Utah, I think has been disrupted, obviously.
Because of Gobert?
Yeah, and I stayed up and tried to talk myself into, Utah's got this, Utah's got this. And
they lost a close one.
Yeah, but I think L.A. went wire to wire in the game I watched. So early on it's tough just because there's so many matchups. But the first round's a lot better than I thought it would be. I thought the second round was what would kind of matter.
Well, what's the old adage? It's you can't count out the team in a playoff series with the best player on it.
And yeah.
I think with the Chicago-Boston series, who's the best player in that series? Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah.
The intriguing question would be, who's the best player in the Bucks-Raptors series?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is maybe a coming-out party for the Greek Freak, right?
And Giannis Antetokounmpo.
My question is, does he stay there, right? I mean, you think if he has high profile... I mean, Milwaukee may build a team around him. I mean, they have, obviously, but could they build a contender around him? Or is he headed somewhere else?
Maybe.
That's where he really
I hope he stays. They can pay him more money than anybody else. And
true.
He doesn't seem to be a big market. Yeah, he doesn't. The guy tried Slurpees there for the first time and loved it. Smoothies.
No, it is pretty funny. I was hoping that Cleveland, Toronto in the next round would be exciting. I'm coming to believe that whoever wins that, you know, Cleveland's going to knock him out. And then whoever comes out of the other side, I think will be interesting just because Chicago and Washington just seem like wild cards. But yeah, I don't know. I was really hoping that Houston, Oklahoma City would be 1-1, you know, going into game three, but you don't always get what you want.
How about Paul George throwing all his teammates and coaches under the bus?
And that worries me a little bit just because I'm like, this is a guy who I think
the Wolves should pursue.
Right. And then you go, but maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe if Towns and Wiggins aren't playing defense, he would call him out.
Yeah. I like Nate McMillan, but to have me play 41 minutes in a game, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, and I saw him going after Lance, and then I'm like, well, Lance does Lance things. I mean, that's kind of fair. I'm trying to think of who else he's kind of burned, but he probably realizes.
Basically everyone. That's the sad part. I mean, he's got Jeff Teague.
I think he realizes he has to go somewhere else.
He'll be a Laker next year, basically.
Oh, bummer. He is still under contract right next year with Indiana. I think he is.
As we both go to the keyboard.
I know.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to the East.
I am almost certain because I feel like I looked this up earlier. But if he was straight up a free agent, I think you throw everything at him if you're the Timberwolves.
Really? You throw the toilet seat at him, huh?
He is an unrestricted free agent. However, that is... in 2 years.
Yeah, so it'll be a while. But the Lakers could trade for him.
Yeah. Because I like him a lot. I think the issue with Jimmy Butler is you just have to deal with the Bulls. And it's not like the Bulls are going to, you know, cut Tibbs a deal here. You know what I mean? Like, kind of give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Well, that's why you angle and you throw a bunch of money at Mirotić.
Yeah.
Make a match, and then you say, hey.
I mean, if you came away from this offseason with Ibaka, you go, fine, right?
They'd be really good next year.
And I think maybe you do that first, And then you work the Wiggins-Levine dynamic out, and then you flesh out who that prospect is. I really think of Dunn as a wing stopper who can shoot better than he can now. He's a valuable player, and that's the thing with the draft. You just want to add assets or add something to your team. Trying to think. Yeah, so, I mean, the NBA playoffs are funny in that, like, I'm the games are good. However, we're going to see Golden State and Cleveland again, I think, barring an injury or something weird coming
up. Something dramatic, sure.
I think Houston's maybe a little bit of a disruptor, and it's probably not a great sign for San Antonio that they lost to Memphis. It's one game, but...
That would be the team where if I was just a masochist, I would be like, all right, Spurs, just win it all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Houston-San Antonio series is interesting because it probably is determining who could potentially knock off Golden State. I don't think the Clippers will in the next round. And then the East is just cool because it's kind of wide open to see who takes out Cleveland. But it seems like when they come back from, you know, you could look at that game and go, whatever, if Cleveland loses it, they're probably going to win that series anyways. But the fact that they came back from a 25-point deficit, you go, who is going to really beat this team? You know, they're not great defensively. I mean, every time I flipped over, it's like, Cleveland's blowing it in the fourth and just don't completely, you know, lose the game.
They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
I've said it all year. They'll be fine. I didn't expect Boston to be down 2-0.
I would love Chicago to come out of there because, and this is going way back, but that Chicago-Cleveland series when Rose was at his best was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it'd be fun to see Chicago come out of there.
Just of all the heat, the
I just
the
I feel like Washington, the coaches is better than them. Like,
they
I,
will be.
Yeah,
Washington would beat them, I think.
Yeah. And I just wish Toronto would give Cleveland a run for their money.
I think Washington's got the best chance of beating Cleveland of any team in the East.
It'd be a really interesting kind of dynamic there. But yeah, this is probably the best, most intriguing first round I've seen in a long time with the NBA playoffs.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
Why don't we reconvene next week? Talk about it.
Yeah. No, that sounds good.
For Tom Schreier at TSCHREIER3 on Twitter, my name is Zachary Bennett. This has been Locked On Timberwolves, April 21st edition. So long.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.